you, John, if you don't mind, take a few minutes and share your thoughts on time management from your point of view.
Well, I was thinking of time management, and then I thought of the manual, because the manual is such a great resource, and it has a great page on time management. I'm just going to read it. So in order to achieve the proper number of presentations in a week, you have to do a minimum of 75 approaches. Now, that's a law of averages of three approaches for each presentation. You need to approach 15 prospects each day to achieve 5 presentations. If you're putting in an 8-hour day, that's only 1.8 approaches every hour. Write down your goals in your goal book. How many approaches each day? How many presentations? How many assumed applications? How much business will you write goes into your goal book? Then you put pressure on the system, not on yourself. We use the success card to keep track of our approaches and presentations. The key to successful prospecting is time management. Managing your time and yourself effectively. Be organized and prepared. Your car is full of fuel. Any oil changes or maintenance on your vehicle is done on the weekend. Your kit is full of extra apps and supplies in your vehicle. You look good. Your lunch is packed. Your clothes are clean and not covered in pet hair. You look like a professional. You know the territory you're working in. You have your referrals and deliveries for your territory in your kit. Most important, doctor's appointments, dental appointments, haircuts are all planned for Friday afternoon or Saturday. An appointment midweek usually means you lose a whole day in the field. Your spouse must understand your priorities, presentations, not picking up the kids or dropping off groceries. So, I find that the manual is such an important resource because it covers so much of what's important to be successful in this business. Back to you, Greg. No, we might have lost Greg.
There he is. I was having a conversation with myself there. But, I like what you said, John. I mean, it really is prioritizing what's important to you, and life gets in the way, so it's easy to get distracted and start developing some bad habits, and you know, before you know it, you're way off, and you know, and it's a good time to reflect. So I want to get people's thoughts on different perspective of good habits for being successful with Landmark, and I'm going to get maybe Ruth. I'd like you to start us off this morning, and I want you to speak to this. And these are thoughts from Brian Tracy. And it says, plan your day the night before. It says, planning your day the night before is one of the habits of successful people that I use every day, and it has contributed greatly to my achievements. You can use this simple life hack to improve your personal and business productivity. It can be applied to anything from getting your daily chores done to planning your work today and reaching your long-term goals. What are the habits of prosperous people is they start their day working from to-do lists. Every minute spent in planning saves 10 minutes in execution. Ruth, can you speak how important that is, especially in our business?
Well, if you are disorganized, it shows in everything that you do. And if nobody is perfect, but one of the things that we have with Landmark is a nice, simple system. An interesting, you know, you're talking about that Brian Tracy. We've got that right now on audio, listening to it in the car. That's a time-effective tool. because many people, when they're in the car on a daily basis, which we are, and there's a flat spot between where you come from and where you're going, is a great opportunity to make your car into a classroom and to learn as you're going. And it's kind of interesting because that's the exact same book that we've been listening to very recently. Starting your day, using a list, starting your day, first of all, with knowing what your plan is. You do it looking the night before at what you need to do. My best friend is my Google Map. And everything that I have to do in my life, I take my phone with me, everywhere that we go, and hold on a second. You're going to have to put up with the bird here. Sorry about that. So everything that we do, I put into here. So if I've got a note to just call somebody tomorrow morning, I've got that in my calendar. If I've got an appointment with somebody at 9 a.m., I've got that in my calendar. We don't make appointments far in advance, but when somebody says to me, call me in 2 weeks, I put that in my calendar. I use Spotio as well. So lists, Brian Tracy wrote that book in the 80s, and most people back in the 80s used paper lists for everything. A lot of people today use electronic lists. But the physical list of writing out everything that you need to do, the important tasks, prioritizing them, is really, really important, because one of the things he talks about is people looking really busy and appearing to be very busy, but they're spending 80% of their time on the wrong tasks, the tasks that don't make them money, because only 20% of your tasks make you money and take you to your goal. So the idea of having a list is that you can see it all in a quick picture, and you can see some of the things that are on your list that shouldn't be. You can take them off after you realize it's a lower priority. You can move it into the next day or the next week if necessary. The question I always ask is this activity today taking me towards the goals that I have immediately set in front of us? You know, we've got a couple of days left to do anything that we can with people, with the 282, the 283, the products that we have, the sickness programs as we know them. So I really love being able to be as efficient as possible and focus on that activity right now, because that is the most important thing right now. Other things can take a backseat to that. So that's the importance of being organized. You know, I already have been out to see a client this morning, and I'm on my way back, and I'm back now. Because you got to do what you got to do when you got to do it, even when you don't feel like it. And the feeling of accomplishment of coming back from seeing somebody as day is breaking, it's kind of a little bit exhilarating as well, because you know that you're doing something that most people don't do. So work from a list, use a calendar, prioritize everything that you need to do, make sure that the activities that you're doing are congruent with what your goals are. And so there comes back to what Joel is talking about. You got to have you got to have those goals written down and have them close to you. I've got a goal in my pocket, you know. I can tell you what it is because it really doesn't matter. It's a goal of mine, and it's the beautiful thing with our program here and our company is. Everybody can have a different goal, and nobody's in competition with one another. We have friendly competitions, but really our competition is with ourselves. So when you are organized and you know what you need to do, my little note in my pocket is saying, is saying that I've got $130,000 in volume in a quarter. So I touch that, and I am aware of that, and it brings me to the present to realize that's what I'm working towards. So if I want to do something that's not conducive to bringing me there, then that's what's going to suffer. And so this is the importance of having a list every day to work with so that you can get to that end. So on that note, I think the bird might be a little bit not a good thing for everybody to hear this morning, so I'll pass back to you.
It's fine, Ruth. The bird actually sounds nice. But what I'd like to ask Ruth is, what happens from your experience when you don't plan your work, like when the night before, when you know, especially on a Sunday, knowing what you're going to do the following week, what happens, Ruth, when you wake up in the morning and you really didn't plan your day yet?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Usually catastrophe happens. And, you know, I certainly have missed an appointment by not doing that. And I bet most of the people on this call that have been around any length of time may have done that because they missed up and slipped up that one time. On a Sunday, when you have your week in front of you, Brian Tracy says that spending an hour or even a half an hour can save you 5 hours during the week when you're working by looking at what it is you're trying to accomplish in this next week. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's great. But listen, I understand. I appreciate you sharing that, Ruth. And, you know, congratulations to Ruth. And it's not luck. I mean, you're just shy of $5,000 that you and Chelsea working together this week so far.
Yep.
And congratulations on that. But that's why you're a professional. You plan your work and then work your plan. So thanks for sharing that. And I'm going to go now to Sylvia, because Sylvia, you're another true professional. And it's right in line to what Ruth talked about, but I'd like you to speak to this. Know your priorities and focus on them. Your goals are an offshoot of your priorities. In other words, you should create your life goals based on the things that are the most important to you. Whether that is being a best-selling author, having a happy family, owning a business, winning a triathlon, or becoming financially independent. Once you define your priorities, it is essential to protect them. That means not letting distractions or other tasks, events, or endeavors get in the way of what is most important. That will require you at times to say no to good things so you can focus on even better things. It also means turning out negative thoughts that can distract you from your path. Can you speak to that?
Sure. good morning, everybody. Ruth talked about having a list. We all have things that we have to get done in a day. Pardon me. Some of those are non-work activities that you have to, you know, pick up something you're out of that you need at home or whatever it might be. But when you make that list, you have to prioritize what is the most important thing. And on the majority of days, work should be your foremost priority. Once you've done your morning routine, if you've got to get your kids to school, you got to do those things. We all should have some breakfast. You have to fuel your body. But the most important thing for most of us each day is doing the 5 presentations. So if you get those out of the way and you do those first, then you can feel comfortable when you're doing the other activities that are not related to work. Now, we don't mean that landmarks should be your number one priority. We have always asked that landmark is your third priority. Faith and family come first, whichever order you choose to put them in. So sometimes there might be a serious emergency that your family does come first thing in the morning. There's just something going on that it just is extremely important. Your faith is with you all the time, and it is very important because that's part of believing in yourself that you can have your success. But Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, if you're serious about your work goals and your career goals, getting those 5 presentations done as efficiently and quickly and efficiently as you can allows you to have time to do the other things. Pick up whatever you need at home, maybe make an appointment on a Saturday for an oil change, you got to make some phone calls, whatever it might be. Now, sometimes you've got a bigger frog to eat in the morning. You've got maybe a delivery that really needs to get done that you've, for some reason, you're behind on, or you need to get a questionnaire done by a client that you didn't think you needed, or you've got something within the business that relates to business that needs to be done. Those are important to be done first so that it's not nagging at you all day. So if you have a client that you wrote down his driver's license wrong, and you've got to reach out to that client and get the driver's license, just do it. If you don't do it right away, it nags at you and it gets in the way of your energy that you're putting towards your presentation. You want to have your slate cleaned and in that those things are not nagging at you, so that while you're doing your presentation, your focus can be on the person you're speaking with and making sure you're giving the best presentation you possibly can. Maintaining a positive attitude or staying away from or avoiding negative conversation, negative people, getting yourself caught into a negative conversation with me, myself, and I, are also priorities, and that can be time-wasting. That, you know, maybe you drive by a bigger building and you think, geez, maybe I should go in there, and you could take 5 or 10 minutes and have a conversation with yourself of, well, these people are probably pretty successful. I don't think they buy from me. Yeah, no, probably, well, maybe I should go. They say you should call on everybody. You could spend half an hour having a conversation. Or you could just say, going in and talking to that person might help me get to my goals today, so just do it. So we can time waste just by having negative self-talk with ourselves and having this conversation of whether we should do something or shouldn't do something. If talking to a person that you believe is self-employed and is a potential client is in front of you and you have that opportunity, that's your first and foremost priority. Go and do it. Go and talk to them. If it's a no or they're not around, whatever, it's not the right client, at least you get that out of the way. But if you don't prioritize your activities, it's very easy to allow your monkey mind or your ego to talk you into doing other things that won't take you towards your goal. And as a matter of fact, they'll take you away from your goal, and especially because you're wasting time. You only have so much time in a day. And if you waste half of it, then your second half, when you kind of wake up and say, oh, geez, I really need to get this done, again, you're not going to do it with the same intensity. You may do it with too much intensity. You're not going to do it with the same quality. When you're organized and you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you can be in the flow of life and let life take you along and bring you success. But when you're not in the flow of life and you've got chaos all around you and within you, you're doing things haphazardly, if that's the right way to say it. I can think of another way to say it, but that's not as polite, I guess. But you're not giving your work the same quality that you could be giving it when you're prioritized, relaxed, and know what you're doing. And one of the greatest things, as Ruth said, is we have the simple system. Is it simple to learn within a week? No, it's not. It's simple to kind of understand it, and then you have to work at it. But once you have the habits, the tools, you understand the system, you know how it works, and you're able to use it on a consistent basis, you can truly just get up in the morning, as long as you've got your direction, get in your car and away you go, and you will be in the flow of life, and life will make it easy for you. And if you think that that's a strange thing to say, you're not reading the right books, you're not talking to the right people. Back to you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Sylvia, for your thoughts. You're a true professional, and, you know, that's why you've done well. You plan your work, you work your plan, and everything you speak to is you live it. So I appreciate sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Joel, because, Joel, I'd like you to speak to this. Remove distractions. Similarly, remove unnecessary distractions from your daily routine and from your life in general. Distractions come in many forms, from negative thoughts and time-wasting social media scrolls to chatting with coworkers in the office during work hours to unnecessary conference room meetings to not properly taking care of your health so your energy wanes. Take time to audit your daily habits to identify the distractions that may be keeping you from achieving the type and level of success you're looking for. Having the self-discipline to make the changes you need to remove these distractions and build habits that will calculate you to success. Can you speak to that, Joel?
Absolutely. It is so easy to get distracted these days. There's so much happening around us. We don't walk out into a field and put a plow down into the ground, the majority of us anyways. And we don't just go out there by ourselves and do one chore. Our life has phones. We have social media. We have our TVs. We have life is, you know, 10 times faster these days. But again, it's got 10 times more distractions. I love what Ruth had said about her calendar. I do the same thing. I've got a calendar that dictates when my appointments, but I also have a to-do list on top of that just for the key top things that I need to do for my work. Putting those calendars, putting those tasks helps you remove a lot of the distractions, because when you have, we talk about goals a lot, when you have proper priorities laid out and you've got your to-do list done, it is a lot easier to focus on doing something as opposed to not doing something. It's like the concept that I said, don't think about your socks. Almost everybody's now thinking about their socks. You almost can't help it. Whereas if I said, think about a pair of pants you own. It's a lot easier to focus on something and push yourself in the right direction. But at the same time, having said that, just go sidetrack for a quick second. To be truly successful, to be truly consistent and focused, you have to make an active decision sometimes in life to say, I am eliminating something from my life. Or I'm cutting it back, whatever it might be. A good example is saying, I am deleting Facebook off my phone because I spend too many hours, or I'm deleting a game off my phone because I'm spending too much hours, or I'm deleting a social media app or something that I enjoy and it spends too much time. Or sometimes you might say, okay, you know what, I enjoy reading books and books are great, but if you're reading some fictional books that aren't giving you something and you're spending, you know, 6-7 hours a day, you're going to have a hard time getting out there in the field and doing the proper number of presentations, being able to spend the proper amount of time with your family, and being able to look after your goals. So if you sit down and organize your life and organize what your priorities are, you're able to then sit down and almost make a budget of your life. You can sit down and say, okay, I need this amount of time in the field. For me, when I first started, my rule of thumb was no matter how I felt, no matter how easy the day or how tough the day was, I stayed out till 5 p.m. or at least. I could not leave the field until at least 5 p.m. or I had done 5 presentations. And that was a rule of thumb that I kept for quite some time, because at the end of the day, I needed to make sure that there was a rule that got me there. So I essentially budgeted my day, and then you can look at it and say, okay,
now I'm going to the field, and my territory that I'm working is half an hour from home. Okay, I get home at 5:30. Then I know, okay, I need to allot this much time for dinner, this much time for cleaning up or reading or devotional or this, or I want to spend this much time with my family. I don't want to, family are a priority as long as it comes in the right order. You want to make sure family is always a priority. And I want to talk about priority in the book family in a second, but you want to make sure your children are a priority. You don't want to eliminate them from your life because you want to hit your goals. Because otherwise you're going to, you know, be 50 years old, 60, 70 years old, and go, oh, I'm so glad that I didn't have time with family, and now I miss them. And now I'm in a nursing home when you're 80, and they're not coming to visit me because we don't have a relationship. Keep that priority there. But at the same time, prioritizing your family, often people think, oh, it's just playing. You know, going there and playing on the floor with the blocks and stuff like that. There is an aspect of, to prioritize your family, you have to also set boundaries with your family. You can't let them say, hey, I'm going to call you at 2:00 in the afternoon because I'm hungry. Can you come home and make me a sandwich? I've been working with people where their kids have literally called them and said, hey, what can I eat? Can you make me something? Or can you come home and we're short of milk. Do you mind picking some up? You're self-employed, so you can take the time off and come pick up milk at 2:00 in the afternoon. So prioritizing, you do have to set boundaries so that way you can provide that income, provide that security and financial stability for your family. And then you allot, okay, now that I'm done my work hours, now I'm putting priority on not being on Facebook, I'm putting my priority on spending quality time with you at the same time. So you have to figure out how that looks for your life. Everybody's life, everybody's priorities are slightly different. I can't say that I've got the perfect scenario situation for you. But at the end of the day, if you allow your family to abuse the boundaries, you're not actually putting them first. It's kind of like giving a kid candy 24/7. A lot of people will say, oh, you know, that's abuse. At the end of the day, you're not actually setting proper guidelines because that kid's going to be so hyped up on sugar, it's going to damage them. So kind of think about along those concepts. Figure out how your priorities are. Figure out how to allot your day, budget your day, so to say. Figure out how to organize and have your proper goals, put it all into place, and it helps eliminate a lot of the distractions because you don't have time for that, for the nonsense. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Joel, for your thoughts, and you're a great example of having balance. You know, you can have it all: emotional wealth, intellectual wealth, spiritual wealth, physical wealth. It's balance. And, you know, you've got a lot of responsibilities. Again, now you're extended to your family. You got all kinds of priorities. But at the same time, you make it happen. You have the quality with your family. And at the same time, you make sure that your business is on track, too. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Joel. I really appreciate it. And Betty, are you on the call? I thought I saw Betty on the call earlier. Yeah, okay, maybe Betty's, I thought I saw her, but anyways, I'll just keep going. I like, maybe I'll have, Jack, I'd like you to speak to this. Don't reinvent the wheel. For each goal you have, chances are someone else has tried to accomplish it. The world is full of wisdom and knowledge that you can learn from to gain an edge on achieving success. If you want to increase sales in your department, for example, find out what your competitors are doing to gain and retain customers, improve product quality, and market their services. If need to boost morale among your employees, research effective strategies until you find the ones that pertain most closely to the work environment. Can you speak to that, Jack?
Sure. I think one of the biggest points that I take from that is working, not just from working hard, and trying to push yourself to do things. And I think it was Ruth mentioned that a lot of people will be busy being busy. But having effective use of your time comes with reflecting and educating and expanding your knowledge. And for the new agents on the call, I Greg kind of mentioned right as the call was starting, I've spent a lot of time looking into time management. There's a very harsh truth to the world, is the fact that time is so much more valuable than money. If you spend all your money, you can earn more if you have time, but if you spend all your time, once it's gone, even if you have all the money in the world. There's 86,400 seconds in every day. How many of them do you waste? No one is perfect. And understanding that, that is a very liberating thought to know that no matter how much you improve, there's always room for improvement. No one is ending this meeting sprinting to their next activity, not wasting any moment between each and individual activity that they do. But the most successful people in the world have the same 24 hours in the day to do this. And how they choose to utilize that time is where their success comes from. It's worth understanding as well, as Joel mentioned, you know, balance, or as Greg kind of alluded to what Joel talked about, there needs to be balance in life. Because too much of any one thing becomes poison. If you drink too much water, it can kill you. If you eat too much food, it can kill you. If you work so hard that you don't take time to balance the things in your life that are needed, you'll burn out. Or you'll have stress, which can kill you. But if you don't take time to find those balances and to maximize the efficiency in each area that you have in your life, you will miss out on opportunities. So learning how to do that from people around you, from the authors that you read and the experiences of those that have come before you, allows you to expedite your journey to a point where you can become more effective faster than others. Take your skills, your knowledge, your experience, and apply it with the skills, knowledge, and experience of those that have achieved the goals that you are trying to achieve, and you can therefore achieve those goals at a rate that should be that much faster than those that have done it without that same guidance and experience. Because even them, if they have done it well, are learning from those that have come before and culminating to a certain point. Taking that, adding it to your own repertoire and being the one to expand on it through your skill set gives you the opportunity to improve. It's not to take anything away from others. As Ruth also mentioned, we're not competing against each other. We all have our own goals. We all have our own standard of performance, our own expectations from our life. But being able to look and learn from others is a key point to growth. If you only focus on what you see and don't take in perspective of others, you're limiting your understanding. So, pardon me, I am having a bit of fun this morning. One of the biggest points that I'll kind of reference here, if you really want to understand the value of perspective and gaining knowledge from outside sources, if I was to write what looks like it sticks to me on a table and be sitting directly across from someone, like if Greg was on the other side of the table, he would see a 9. And we'd both be completely correct in our perspective until a baseline was set. And in comparison to or the next level, if I was to put an 8, Greg and I would both see an 8. And from the side, somebody would be looking at and say, so understanding that there are different perspectives to a situation, different solutions to a problem or a situation that looks one way to you, does not eliminate the truth that there are solutions situation that are better understood if you can see it from multiple perspectives, which only comes with the shared knowledge of others. Focusing on striving to discover that from others and apply it for yourself is where you're going to find the most rapid state of growth. And I could talk on this for a bit, learn to reflect on your own choices and the experience of others, and it will really help you reach your goals at a faster rate. So back to you, Greg.
Wow, Jack, it's just an honor to have you part of Landmark. You have really matured and so committed to being a true professional of your craft, and you have so much to share with your experience, and it's just great to hear your thoughts. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Amy. I believe you're on the call. Are you able to talk, Amy?
Hello, good morning.
Oh, there she
Hello,
is.
Good morning. Yeah, sorry, technical difficulty.
Well, that's okay. You're not alone. There's a few people, and I also understand that Betty is actually on the call, but she's having technical difficulty too. So, you know, it's the Zoom gods that are giving us a hard time this morning. But anyways, Amy, I'm glad that you're able to speak, and I'd like you to share your thoughts on this. Observe people who inspire you. Imitation is one of the greatest compliments, and imitating the successful habits of people you look up to is a foundational skill that will move you towards your own success. Think about the people in your life that are most inspiring to you. What is it about them that uplifts you, motivates you, and or inspires you? Identify those values and then observe how they use these principles in their everyday lives. As you do so, ponder how you can emulate their habits and characteristics and personalize them to your life. Additionally, analyze the values that are most important to you, and then identify people who have those values. Observe them or read all you can about them to understand what makes them tick and how they're and how they are among the ranks of those you consider successful. Can you speak to that, Amy?
Yes, I can. Good morning. Can't change rooms here. All we have are people, and we have in this journey for success. We can look towards and learn from those, and you know, the people on this call that have spoken, John, Sylvia, Ruth, Jack, and so many others that will speak. They have success in this business, and they've gone through every circumstance imaginable, and there's so many facets to success. It's from working hard, it's from being focused, it's from being determined, it's from learning from obstacles, it's from growing from obstacles, it's from being happy for your team when they are successful. There's so many different facets, and when you learn and listen with two ears and ask, when you ask a question and listen and really like internalize it and practice it and grow, that is a habit of success, and that is a path to success. And speaking of success, I don't know if Louis Couto is on the call, but I'm amazed at what he just texted me on Wednesday. He's passed his provincial exams, which is a huge endeavor, and he worked so hard, and he took the bull by the horns, and he did it. And I'm so happy for, I just want to congratulate his success. It's a huge accomplishment in this business, and it couldn't come at a better time as we move towards 2024 with all the awesome things that we have in store. And I'd also like to give a shout out to Dorota. Dorota and I shared a coffee this week. And, you know, we learned from each other. We are relatively new. She's just finished her first year. I'm coming up, not quite on my second year, but, you know, we learned from each other. And as far as what prospecting efforts worked, what we could change differently, how we're working on filling our funnels and how we can follow up, but also, you know, the importance of emotional stories. We had a really awesome time to learn from each other, too. So I hope that provided value, and I will throw it back to you.
Of course it does. And, you know, another great quality about you, Amy, is you have gratitude. You really appreciate what you have, and you don't take things for granted. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. I really enjoy listening to your thoughts all the time. And I'm going to go to, I'd like to go to Jody. Jody, are you able to speak?
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Jody. I admire the fact that you're on these calls so early. It says so much about you. But I'd like you to speak to this, Jody. Forgive yourself. Self-care also means being kind to yourself. Often we are our own worst critics. And while we should make a habit of self-evaluation and challenging ourselves to progress and improve, we should not be overly harsh on ourselves. Mistakes happen. It is a natural part of life. In fact, if you're not making mistakes, you're not challenging yourself to grow and progress, which is a mistake. When you find you have not lived up to your expectations, made an unintentional error, being guilty of procrastination, or any other scenario you're not pleased with, forgive yourself and move on. The key is to learn from your experiences and use them as fuel to do better next time and achieve more than what you're currently doing. Highly successful people are driven, but they're also patient with themselves and others and know that the most rewarding success are forged out of difficult circumstances. Jody, can you speak to that, please?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, thank you, and happy Friday and all of this newness and all this wonder that's in front of us. I so look forward to yet another new year and to reflect on where I've been, what I've done, how last year has made me a better person. Is I'm thankful. I'm very, very thankful. And yes, that's not to say that there hasn't been all of these challenges, because there are challenges each and every day. It's how you embrace them. It's how you love yourself. It's how you are kind to yourself. It's how you reinvent yourself each and every day. And that is, for me, a gift. Is it easy? No sirree, Bob. It is challenging each and every day, but it's my commitment to myself. And I can waver, and it's how I get back on that path, how I provide value to myself in getting back on that path, because I can stay off of it for a minute, 5, 10, a day, a week, a month, whatever the case may be. But if you do love yourself and you forgive yourself and you are kind to yourself, as you alluded to, right, the procrastination and the sabotage will eventually have no space for you. Unless you let it. And you can let it. And the beauty of, I think, loving yourself is not to sabotage, not to procrastinate. Because again, and I've said it over and over and over again, we have a service to provide for our community, for others, with this product. And when we do that, we fulfill ourselves. And I like the feeling of fulfillment rather than staying off course. So I hope that answered your question or gave some value. I do wish everybody the best for 2024 and all the changes that are coming for us, because we can and will make it happen. Back to you, Greg.
Wow. Jody, you just speak from the heart, and I know you self-reflect all the time, and you're a great inspiration I've seen you, I've been hard on yourself, and I've also seen you forgive yourself, and you are constantly reflecting to be a better version of yourself, Jody, and that's an inspiration, at least to me. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Jody. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to, I want Eileen. Eileen, are you able to speak? I see you on the call. Are you able to speak, Eileen?
Yes, I am, Greg. Thanks.
Okay, good. Well, I'd like you to speak to this, Eileen. It says, learn from others. Just as it is important for you to share your knowledge with others, it is also essential to learn from the success and mistakes of those who've gone before you. Daily habits of successful people include being lifelong learners. When you have a task to accomplish, a problem to solve, or a goal to reach, learn all you can through research, observation, and asking questions so you can find the best possible approaches and solutions in an efficient amount of time. Can you speak to that, Eileen?
Yes, I definitely can, Greg. Thanks for calling on me. It's not hard, I don't find, to answer this question with what I've experienced so far with Landmark. You definitely have to be coachable. You have to realize that every day you can learn something new, that nobody knows everything. Especially in this type of job, every single person you talk to is going to be a different situation, and you can never plan for what you're going to approach or what situation is going to end up being in front of you. I've had Christian and Ian and Greg and Gonzo's called me and had lots of people, and even just listening to these Zoom calls, like Jody says, you get a little nugget here and there and you take it and run. Having the amazing leadership that I've experienced so far, they're always there to answer a question. I love working with them in the field too. Like Christian is great to work with in the field. He always, he's an amazing coach. But being in the management role before myself, it's really hard to try to, coach somebody who's not coachable. And so I think when we're talking about self-reflection, you have to be coachable. You have to, when you're given a little bit of criticism, take it as always positive. Nobody's perfect, and you have to be able to, take the criticism and change whatever it is you think you need to change and go forward on to the next presentation, and always try to be better, because the people that are coaching us in Landmark, they are successful and they've been through it all. You can't, like I said, you can't ever know what's going to happen in each approach, and so they've been through it. And so if anybody has worked a number of years in one profession before having this opportunity, you definitely know that every day, every customer, you learn something new. So I just think having the amazing coaches that we do have within Landmark, and knowing that, and having the confidence to call anybody up and ask the question if we need it, I just think it's so important to lean on them when you need them and take their criticism as positive always, and put forth your best every day, and, and try to implement what they're telling you, and I think success will just come with it. That's all I have to say, Greg.
Well, you said your thoughts are fantastic, and you know, I know you're a great, you know, what makes a great leader is a great follower, and you really are a great student. I know the feedback that we get from your commitment and your efforts and your success, without a question, is going to be a foregone conclusion, because you're coachable and you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and apply new skills. So I appreciate your thoughts and thanks for sharing. It's great. And Chelsea, are you able to speak, Chelsea?
Sure am.
Okay, wonderful. Love to get your thoughts on this, Chelsea. Prioritize self-care. The road to success is a journey, not a final destination. It is a step-by-step, day-by-day process in which you achieve success along the way for reaching your larger goals. Successful people understand that we do not one day arrive at success and then we have reached our ultimate goal. Instead, we build on each success. Once we have achieved one goal, there is another one to reach for. The more we accomplish towards reaching our true purpose, the more fulfilled we are, instead of allowing the drive to overcome your mental and physical health due to stress, worry, or fatigue. Take time daily to prioritize self-care. Can you speak to that, Chelsea?
Well, I think that doing the actions that take you in the direction of your goal are certainly things that help with your self-care, because they are bringing you the good things, and having something to strive for in and of itself, and being in motion and being, you know, in this, I don't know, this state of growth. And as for the stressfulness of time management, well, there's always way too many things than you have time to do. And I have, I do graphic design, and my son, swimming and beavers and dinner and groceries and Landmark is there as well. So if you have some Brian Tracy, that Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, and if you focus on the tasks that are taking you where you want to be, and that is how you need to manage your time, because those are your high-value tasks. So if you are not feeling like going to work and focusing on these other 80%, that's not really bringing you in a space that's going to be working for you, for your self-care and your self-development. You're going to feel not good, because you're going to have more things on your plate and you won't have completed your high-value tasks. So it's, you can't really, it's not managing time. You can only manage yourself, as Peter Drucker said. And if you do not conquer self, you will be conquered by self, Napoleon Hill said. So if you're working on yourself and your personal management and building these excellent habits that are making you be the person that you want to be, then all these things working together, all these moving parts, and that's your self-care and your self-management, it's all on the same track. Okay, goodbye. Have a good Friday.
Well, I love your thoughts, Chelsea, and I love your journey. Just watching you grow, it's been amazing. And even this week, I know you were in the field, you know, refining your craft, and you're learning from the best. So you're, as you know, you're in great hands, but you're committed to being a better version of yourself. So it's just been a pleasure watching you on this incredible journey with Landmark. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Chelsea. And Sav, another great person that's really stepping up and learning his craft. Sav, are you able to speak?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Sav, I'd like you to speak to this. Be a lifelong learner. As mentioned earlier, the habits of successful people include the continuous learning. Keep up with the trends and developments in your industry so you can have the best chance of continued progress. Learn something completely new that you never learned before. Challenge yourself to skydive, play the violin, learn a new language, change the oil in your car, or build a boat. Whatever your interests are, expand your horizons, increase your joy, and build on your success for pursuing them. Do you want to speak to that?
You know, I'm a big believer that knowledge is power. Being able to educate yourself and becoming more and more aware of your craft, hobbies, whatever else you want is such a big advantage to have. One thing that I keep coming up working in this industry, especially with judges, we're never going to be able to work as hard as the people we service. So to combat that, we have to be more available, more knowledgeable of our craft and to service our people as best as we can. We never stop growing, we never stop learning, and having the opportunity to be very passionate about what we do, the hobbies we have in life, it serves us better in our life and provides us more fulfillment.
Shav?
Yes. Can you hear me okay? Sorry, I'm on the road. It's a little rough.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just want to see if you were done or...
Yeah.
Saying something else.
No, it'll finish.
Okay, well, very direct and right to the point, but Sav, I'm telling you, you know you're in great hands, but you're a great student. You really are applying... what you're learning and your effort. I really respect your commitment to you learning your craft. So I appreciate your thoughts. And we're almost out of time, but I want to hear just from a couple more people. Bill, you know, it's been a great journey having you with us for many years, and you won multiple president clubs. And you've always been great, loyal to Landmark, and you lead by example in the field. You were for years a President Club winner, and you just let your deed speak. Do you want to finalize your thoughts on what you heard today?
Well, you know, we're talking about time management, and as has already been alluded to by a number of individuals, there's only so many hours and minutes in the day, and it's easy to get off track. What I find is that you can easily get back on track by being so committed to your goals. You know what you need to do. In this, in our profession, in our business, we know exactly what we need to do each day and how to do it. And when we do get off track, it's just a matter of going back and reflecting on, what did I end up spending most of my day on? Was it more on the distractions of life, or was it on the business? And then it's, based on your goals and what you need to do and what you know you need to do, it's just to readjusting that on a daily basis. And again, we've heard it from Sylvie and a couple of other people too, is this. It sometimes is a matter of keeping track of your minutes, keeping track of the hours and what you do each day, and what's making me successful, what's making me reach my goals in those activities, and what is it, and just adjusting. And that it comes down to that. But without strong goals and knowing those and having those in front of you all the time, it's too easy to get off track, and our time management skills are impaired by that. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Bill. Really appreciate your thoughts, and I wish you the best in the new year, and I wish everybody the best in the new year. But I want to hear from two more people. I want Jared to close the meeting, but Gonzo, are you able to speak?
Yes, Sam, good morning.
Yes, Gonzo, listen, I appreciate your...
Well, before you say anything, please, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope everybody is enjoying it with their family and friends. And may the new year bring you all that you will search for.
Well, that's who you are.
I didn't want to get you up there.
Well, you have your own way of being a memorable experience, Gonzo. We love you for that. You're an inspiration to all of us. I just we admire what you do and how you do it. And, you know, I just wanted you to just share your thoughts, and it sounds like you already did. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd like to say to all the most people on the call, I don't even know. There's so many new people. I mean, and I've just been out of the inner circle, so to speak, for about a month and a half. And all of a sudden, I don't recognize everybody on the call anymore. But I'm still here. I'm still going. I'm a little under the weather lately. But I'm coming back. 2024 is going to be the best year. And for all the new people, all I have to say is keep on going. There's not much, there's no secrets in this job. All you do is you give it 100% and it comes back in the best. Anyway, I don't know what else to say, but have yourself a great rest of the year, and may the new one bring you all the best.
Well, thank you, Gonzo, for your thoughts, and again, we wish you good health yourself, Gonzo, because, you know, it's, we know how hard you work, but health is number one, so just keep taking care of your health. And I want to thank everybody, before I pass it over to Jerry to close the meeting, I want to thank everyone for the trust that you put into Landmark and the commitment we have for you. You know, we really do stand out. We are so unique in the industry. We're the only company that offers lifetime benefits. It's so special, so unique. And we have a great year coming up with all these great opportunities. And we admire your efforts and your commitment, and more importantly, your trust in us. So be safe over the new year.